Hello folks, what's up? I hope you're enjoying and learning through Road to Revamp. In the consistent quest to bring best available information from the experts in their respective fields, today we are with Vasudha Goenka. She's an entrepreneur, a state champion in kickboxing, certified in the most badass kettlebell program named Strong First. She's a celebrity chef. She works for reputed hospitals in Kolkata as a dietitian. And last but not least, she runs her own holistic health center named Mind Body Soul. Although she can talk about any topic under the sun, but today she will usher some light on an important subject, which is diet and nutrition. So let's welcome Vasudha and let's gather some wisdom pearls.
Hi Vasudha. Welcome to the Road to Revamp podcast. So first tell us something about you. You are a dietitian, you have experience in fitness, and you have so many certifications in fitness, including Strong First Kettlebell certification. Just tell us something about you. How did you enter in this diet and exercise field?
Hi Abhishek. So when I was a young girl, like during my childhood days, I was really a very sporty girl. I was very fond of all different kind of sports and games. And I was always a very physically active child. But then after college and all, I immediately got married. Mm-hmm. I became a mother at a very, very early age. Mm-hmm. And over the years, I just did not do any kind of exercise and got into a lot of bad eating habits. Mm-hmm. And I put on also a lot of weight. So this did make me very depressed also. Mm-hmm. But then after a few years, I said I did have to get hold of my life. And again, I got back into exercising, got focused. I started gymming, got into weight training and all. And I got nutrition also. I was always very fond of nutrition and healthy food and everything. So then I got hold of my food habits and well, and I then started working on myself. So I lost some amount of weight and became a much more healthier and a more energetic person. Then I got into, then because it has helped, because nutrition as fitness has helped me change my life, I then studied nutrition, became a certified instructor, and have now become a professional nutritionist.
That's great. So you have no, you didn't do any scientific study, during your bachelor's and all. And is it hard to, following the profession of a dietitian, going into that, studying about it, some kind of, a budding dietitian, what they should do to make these things easier for them?
It's true that I don't have any scientific background where nutrition is concerned, but I did have, but I was always very, very fond of science in school. Right. I did have nutrition in my later studies also, mm-hmm. but then of course I lost touch over the years. Mm-hmm. Then I did the certificate, then I'm very fond of reading and learning, and I keep doing these online courses. Right. Some of these courses are international also. Right. So and then I keep brushing up my knowledge also. So reading and all has really helped me improving my.
So it is not about just finishing a certificate or degree and not following the recent trends. You have to.
Absolutely. So it's just not about theory. And then a lot of people I see, they have a lot of theoretical knowledge, but then they cannot put it in practice.
Yeah.
And they are not practical.
So Vasudha, do you use those dietary protocols for yourself also, which you suggest to your clients time to time?
Yes, absolutely. And because I have seen the change in myself, I use these diets on myself and I know they work. That is why I can suggest them to clients also.
Right. So it's all about experimenting and then only
absolutely
suggesting that.
Use yourself as a guinea pig first.
That's great. We all should actually time to time. Okay. So these days, obesity is rampant. Every other person which I see, every other kid, all are fat.
True.
Or close to obesity. So, what do you find, what is the reason behind that? What do you think about it?
One of the most important basic reason for obesity is eating too much and moving too little.
Okay, yeah.
Because junk food, processed food, it's so easily available.
Yes.
It's doesn't take too much time to cook, and it is inexpensive.
Right.
So people have started eating those much more to healthier foods.
Yeah, because I think it satisfies their palate more than the natural food.
Satisfies their palate more, and it's far more convenient.
Easily available.
Easily available.
Every nook and corner, you can get it.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. So, at the same time, hyperpalatable foods are there and junk foods are there. And at the same time, people have stopped moving that much. So, how do you think you can include more movement in people's life? Like these days, people track their steps and all.
It's a good way to track your steps because it gets people at least walking, which they have stopped doing over the period over these years. Mm-hmm. But walking as such, I would not consider it as an exercise per se. So movement, I feel, is like playing any sport. You can swim, you can play badminton, you can play cricket, whichever sport one enjoys. Or you can join a gym or join some activity which you enjoy. So any movement, like give just 5 hours in a week, would be sufficient for maintaining a healthy lifestyle.
So, but for the sedentary people, you advise walking, like those people who hardly
can't
move.
Can't do some any other activity. So initially, they can at least start by walking for at least 5 or 6 hours in a week.
So it's moderate and it's easily doable.
Very easily doable. Like in a little effort has to get go into from your side, from your part also.
Vasudha, if somebody comes to you and they have a goal of losing 5 kg weight or 10 kg weight in certain amount of time. So what is your first reaction and first prescription to them?
A lot of these clients, they just come and they tell you, I want to lose this amount of weight in this little time. I just want to lose weight fast and make me look good.
Yeah, it's that a marriage way, is there or that
yes,
function,
some
is there.
Function is there. Yeah. So the whole cause for them, the whole motive for them to lose weight is probably a function or a marriage sometimes. So what happens is they do lose some amount of weight and then they again put it back on as soon as that particular function is over. So what I try to explain to the clients, they should not see a marriage or something as a purpose to lose weight. They should think of being healthy rather than just concentrating on losing weight. In fact, start leading a healthier lifestyle, get into some exercise program, and then weight loss would follow as a side effect. And not just see, so they should make health the purpose and the goal and not weight loss as the goal.
I mean, some baby steps if other people want to follow.
Yeah, so I basically, it depends from client to client and their habits and their preferences.
Suppose you have a client who's adamant to lose fat and you have to correct his way of thinking about fat loss. How do you, progress? How do you go for such people?
So he's adamant to lose fat. So first I would assess how much exercise he's going to put in and what kind of compliance he can do with his with his diet.
Okay.
Like a person, I suppose if he's weighing 150 kgs, he's absolutely desperate to lose weight and fat. But his compliance level will be low because he's already used to eating so much of high food, high calorie food. So in one day, suddenly if I tell him he just switched to a very high protein diet, a very healthy diet, he will not be able to be compliant. So initially for such a person, I would gradually tell him to take things slowly and introduce one good habit every week. So maybe start with making him drinking a lot of water the first week. The second week, start including vegetables in his diet. Then the third week, instead of cutting down food, I would start adding things to his diet.
So he can eliminate the...
Automatically, when you start eating more vegetables, there would be lesser place for rice or roti or pizza or burgers.
So it is not something forceful.
Not something forceful. So I will start introducing one good habit in him every week. So, and then gradually cutting down on the bad stuff, like cutting down on sugars first and then setting targets for exercising every week. So first week I would tell him probably because this person who's weighing suppose 100-120 kgs has not moved in his life. So I would tell him put in 3 hours of activity this week. Then gradually increase it to 4 hours, 5 hours, like that.
More about forming
good habits rather than eliminating and cutting down food.
Yeah.
Yes, from your lifetime.
That's great. Perfect answer. Okay. Vasudha, these days low carb diets are in rage. Everybody is advocating low carb diets. Sometimes, you know, aesthetic purpose is there. Sometimes some proponents say that these lifestyle, I mean, these are lifestyle diets. You can follow them for lifestyle. What do you think about it?
Yeah, so low carb diets are really in these days, and every other person you hear, I'm eating low carbs. I'm not having any carbs for dinner. And especially the vegetarians, since they're not so well informed, they'll say, I'm just having dals for dinner and I'm going no carbs. So they think dals do not have carbs. So that's a very common this thing which is going around nowadays. See, it depends what your goals are. Now, if a person wants to lose 15 kgs, 20 kgs, wants to lose a lot of fat, get down his body and fast, a low carb diet will work for him or her. But now one should also see that carbs are, all carbs are not bad. Carbs are different kinds. So there are sugars, then there are the fibers, which are a very healthy part of carbs.
Very good for digestion.
Very good for digestion. They're good for gut health.
Right.
And also they keep you full.
That's true.
So one should not see carbs as enemies.
Right.
So now then there are whole carbs and refined carbs. So what one can do later after going through a low carb diet, one can easily switch to little whole grain, include some whole grain carbs.
Right.
And exclude the refined carbs and the sugars from their diet is a fabulous thing to do for a long period of time.
Right, right. I mean, you cannot, you're trying to say...
One cannot just go on for a very low carb diet for a very long period of time. Carbs also has a lot of goodness in them. So they have some phytonutrients, which are antioxidants, as people would understand. Then it also helps in releases of serotonin, which is a, which gives you a very feel-good factor.
And sleep.
Yeah, it helps in good sleep. Yeah. So far, so one should not see carbs as enemies.
There is a huge debate between, I mean, not in scientists, but so many dietitians I've seen a fight between, you know, sweet potato and potato. So do you think both are good or some, I mean, sweet potato is better than potato or potato is better than sweet potato?
Sweet potatoes are far much more better than potatoes. They are much more higher in fiber content, much more higher in antioxidants. Their mineral and vitamin contents are far more higher than what it is there in potatoes. So overall, if you compare, they do have starches. Potatoes also have starch. But then because of the high vitamin and antioxidant and more fiber content, they do have a better,
and more nutritious than
potatoes.
And same question I would like to ask about white rice and brown rice.
Yes. So now that again is individualistic. Now white rice, of course, the fiber part is removed from the white rice. So the only difference between the brown rice and the white rice is the fiber. So what you lose out is just a minimal amount of fiber and maybe some amount of vitamins which are present in the fiber. So along with white rice, if you include a lot of, incorporate your pulses, if you incorporate a lot of vegetables, so the fiber is already taken care of. So I personally feel there is not much difference between white rice and brown rice. And also white rice gets digested very fast. So for athletes and all who want energy in maybe after 2 hours of consuming it, so white rice is a better option for them than brown rice.
So we can use it as a pre-workout.
Pre-workout, in your pre-workout food.
And same for sweet potato.
Same for sweet potatoes. Even potatoes then is a good pre-workout food, or for athletes who are going for a competition or something. It's a good this thing for potatoes because then they will give you quick energy.
A lot of fat loss experts, you know, not just fat loss experts, everybody understands this thing, caloric deficit is needed for fat loss, no matter how good food you are consuming. Okay, it is important to maintain caloric deficit. But some people say that it doesn't matter what you are eating, if you are in caloric deficit, you will lose fat. Okay, so up to a certain extent, okay, I agree with this. But do you think it is...
The first statement and the second statement, what you said, were the same?
See, what I'm trying to say, fat loss needed caloric deficit.
Definitely.
Okay. But some people say it doesn't matter that deficit is coming from a fast food or a processed food or coming from whole food. Yes. So do you think this is right?
Yes, that makes, food makes a lot of difference. Calorie deficit has to be there. but the calories what you're getting from which food also makes a lot of difference in your diet. So once in a while, if somebody is having an unhealthy meal or for example, a pizza or a burger, it's fine. But then, of course, there are a lot of trans fats which are entering your system.
Right.
So these produce a lot of free radicals in your cells.
Right. Which also.
Yes, and formation and in your cell. And then these hinder the absorption of your nutrients.
Right.
It increases your insulin resistance
right.
in the body. So the good quality food is, of course, far more superior to
and at the same
consume.
Time, you know, if you are getting your 300 calories from Coke, you are getting no nutrition at all.
No nutrition from the Coke and, of
yeah.
course, as compared to a plate full of fruits.
Right. So, you are having same amount of carbohydrate, but a lot of other phytonutrients, minerals, vitamins.
Yes, a lot of phytonutrients, vitamins. Lot of fiber and a lot
yes.
of vitamins.
And at the same time, slow release.
Slow release. Yeah, the glycemic index is much more
lower Coke.
Than the Coke one.
Yeah. Okay. So, now let's talk about training. So, when it comes to fat loss, and especially for females, most of the coaches focus a lot on endurance and less on strength, or sometimes a lot of strength and less endurance. What do you prefer and why?
So for females, for women,
yeah.
I feel weight training is really essential for fat loss also.
Mm-hmm.
If they just do a lot of cardio, what they might lose a lot on the weighing scale. But
mm-hmm.
what happens, they also lose a lot of lean mass.
Yeah.
So lean muscle mass.
Right.
So this, in fact, lowers their metabolic rate.
Mm-hmm.
And over a period of time, they will start putting on weight again. Because
yeah.
since the metabolism drops.
And body is used to with those runs or walks.
Absolutely.
Like, yeah.
So there is no definition in the muscles.
Mm-hmm.
They have just lost fat. Yeah, true. But with weight training, they will develop more muscles. So more strength.
Right.
They'll be less prone to injuries. Also for women, it's very important because weight training helps in bone density.
Right.
So it does help in later in osteoporosis.
Mm-hmm.
It also reduces the risk of arthritis,
mm-hmm.
helps in cardiovascular health.
So,
weight training is far superior to just doing cardio.
Just doing cardio. I mean, there should be a good mix of...
Weight training. And of course, I would not say you should not do endurance training. So some endurance training like HIIT training
right.
or a CrossFit program, one can incorporate in their workouts, maybe on a week, once a week or once in 10 days or something, they can incorporate
okay.
some kind of these programs.
So you think CrossFit recovery after CrossFit workouts is harder than the normal... workouts. That's why, I mean, you're suggesting once in a week or once in a 10 days.
Yes, because they are using different muscle groups and
yes.
much more high endurance
activities
in the CrossFit program.
Yeah, like in 20 minutes, you are doing around 300 to 500,
exactly.
500
so
reps.
You're using a lot of that muscle.
And you're not getting recovery. It's same for males and females, or you suggest males can go slightly more and...
Males, males should not do so much of CrossFit, I feel.
Mm-hmm.
For them, a normal weight training program works far better.
Mm-hmm.
And then they can include some HIIT training maybe at the end of their workout, maybe twice a week or something for as a finisher to their workouts.
So, for conditioning purpose.
For conditioning purpose.
Okay. And most of the... what are the different supplements, basic supplements, which you suggest to your clients? Not on, not in terms of sports nutrition or performance, but in general.
In general, in today's times, I feel most of the people who come to me for diets, they are lacking in protein.
Right.
So I do supplement them with whey protein, especially my vegetarian clients.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe some multivitamin, depending upon how their blood levels are.
Okay.
And we add in some fish oils. In the diets, yeah.
And
these are the basic supplements which I usually give.
As you just bring these vegetarian thing up, what are the good sources of vegetarian protein? I mean, not everybody is, so keen to buy whey protein. People ask a lot of questions.
And then they feel that whey protein is not good and it's not a natural form
yeah.
of protein.
Yes.
So this, I find it really funny because when they are giving Horlicks or Complan to their children,
yeah. Then
they
it is
don't
fine.
think it's a unnatural form of
Protein.
food.
Yeah, food.
And it has just sugar, mostly sugar,
right.
and very little amount of protein.
True.
But the moment you buy whey protein from a gym shop or from a health shop, they feel it's a very unnatural source of protein.
Yes.
So first I tried to convince them that it is not an unnatural form of protein.
Yeah.
But even if they're not, then for a vegetarian friend, dairy is a good source of protein.
Okay.
And then some amount of protein is there in dals, pulses, but then you have to combine it with the cereals to make it a complete protein.
Okay.
And soy is there. But then
okay.
that again becomes a little limiting to giving it to men on an everyday basis.
Mm-hmm.
That's about it. The vegetarian sources are really limited in comparison.
Chickpeas
and all comes in all pulses, lentils,
okay.
rajma. These are all high, not very high in protein. They're yet very high in carbohydrates.
I have listened about quinoa. Quinoa, they say it's a complete protein. So
it's a complete protein. Quinoa is a seed,
mm-hmm.
originally a seed, but it is yet high in carbohydrates also.
Okay.
So it is a complete protein, but if you could just so quinoa, like amaranth,
uh-huh.
buckwheat, which is so locally
yes.
available in
yes.
our country, these are all complete proteins. But at the same time, they're very high in carbs also.
Okay.
So when a person is looking to look out for weight loss,
mm-hmm.
then and they have to be in a calorie deficit. So you have to calculate how much quinoa also you can have and how much to give along with the other food.
Easy to, you know, track and measure all these data? I mean, do you suggest any tracking device or, I mean, how do you actually measure all these things? Because for some time you need to measure.
For example, you mean when I say you have 30 grams of quinoa?
Yes.
How
yes.
would I explain it to my client?
Yes, yes.
How much a 30 grams
yes,
would be?
Yes.
So a 30 grams, generally one tablespoon comes to around 15 grams.
Okay.
So 30 grams would be around 2 tablespoons of quinoa. Raw quinoa would be 30 grams of quinoa.
And do you suggest your clients to track their calories?
No, generally when I make them the diet chart, so then that is already
you know
calculated
that, yeah, how many
and
calories
everything.
Are
so
over there.
Yeah. And
so you don't.
I don't tell them to track the calories
yeah.
then.
Because it's hard.
It's hard for them to calculate.
Yes.
And they will not put in that much of effort that after
yes.
every meal, they're going to sit and calculate the calories and then send it to me that they've eaten this much. It's
right,
not possible.
Right. It's impractical.
It's a very tedious and an impractical thing
right.
to tell a client.
Most of the clients
and they're so busy. They're like
yeah.
working professionals and also they'll not have the time to bother with all these details.
So they can just go through this.
And if they're doing all this, then why would they come to me? Like they'd rather feel they'll just do it themselves.
Right. It's a great point. We should not never let things to the chance.
One should make the client do something which is very doable for the
right.
client so that they can follow it for a longer period of time.
Because most of the time people deter from their, you know, if you'll say you just have to have 2000 calories.
So 2000 calories and then the whole day they're sitting and calculating
yeah.
how much calories they're having. And then by the end of the week, they'll feel this is too much of work
right.
and they'll just give it up.
So to make things easier, don't you think intermittent fasting could be a great way?
Yes, intermittent fasting is a fabulous way to lose weight.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, it also depends that not everybody can do it.
Okay.
So staying hungry for 16 hours is not doable for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And also people having gastritis or acidity problems cannot do intermittent fasting.
Okay. So if somebody have any, you know, acid reflux or gas
right.
issue, how do you tackle them, especially vegetarians? Because
so I generally do not ever start with a fat diet. Like
mm-hmm.
usually the first month I see how the compliance level of the client is.
Okay.
And then I generally start with a lifestyle kind of a diet
mm-hmm.
and basically concentrating and helping the client to develop good habits.
Mm-hmm.
And as the client progresses, depending on how much he or she needs to lose, I give the diet. So for example, if a person is wanting to lose 15 kgs,
mm-hmm.
so maybe for one and a half, 2 months, I'll put them on a lifestyle kind of a diet. Then I might start, you know, on some time, maybe with a keto diet or with a,
okay.
some carb cycling diets or
okay.
with an intermittent fasting thing, and then switch back to a lifestyle diet. So my main aim is to help the child, help the client develop good habits.
Mm-hmm.
So once they stop coming to me, after that also, they should just maintain that weight and not just put back the weight which they have lost.
Okay. What is, can you please elaborate more about this lifestyle diet? Because you're using this term a lot.
Yes, by lifestyle diet, I mean not eliminating any particular food group.
Okay.
So it's not that you do not eat carbs, you do not eat or just eat a lot of proteins. And so basically incorporate all different foods. Every meal should be a balanced meal, and concentrating more on portion sizes. So a breakfast would include a protein component, some amount of whole grains, and maybe some little bit of nuts or seeds or a fruit and a fruit.
Okay.
So every meal basically should be a balanced meal.
Okay, so you are not actually eliminating anything. You are adding good things, so automatically
yes,
bad things are eliminated.
Yes, they are eliminated. And what I teach the client over the period of time is to maintain portion sizes. So portion sizes of the whole grains, now carbohydrates. So maintain portion sizes of your grains.
Right.
So do not exceed those. So you can have cheat more on vegetables, cheat more on fruits if you want to, but do not have more portion sizes of your grains. So get into those habits. So then later it's an easy thing for them to maintain their weight also.
Do you think these days everybody talk about insulin sensitivity, leptin sensitivity? Do you think insulin sensitivity can make huge difference while you are on a fat loss
yes,
journey?
Absolutely. Insulin, and along with insulin, then leptin and cortisol, all these hormones do play a very, very important role in weight loss and in managing your weight.
Can you elaborate it slightly more about insulin? Because, you know, you're having a healthy diet and everything is going smooth, and suddenly people cheat.
Yes.
And their insulin spikes. Okay, so in such cases, how do you manage? Because cortisol level may go up and down according to their lifestyle.
According to their lifestyle,
and
too.
You must have, you know, managed their diet in a very well manner. But cortisol level is high, they are tense, their insulin level is dropped, or insulin, and then they binge. They binge. So
yes.
How do you? I mean, in such situation, how do you work on their insulin sensitivity, your client's insulin sensitivity?
Yes, you see, most of the obese people are to some extent insulin resistant.
Right.
So that means that the cells are not working properly. They are full of toxins and trans fat and trans and very high saturated fats do make the cells insulin resistant.
True.
So what I try to do is incorporating in their diet nuts and seeds, some omega-3, omega-3, omega-6, those fish oils.
Right.
So these help in increasing insulin sensitivity. Also giving them some antioxidants also helps.
Okay. And high-intensity workouts can
workouts,
also help.
Of course. So that is why I just keep concentrating on a healthy lifestyle.
Okay.
So on a healthy diet, if you are eating nuts, you are eating seeds, you are having your fish oils, you have your fruits, your vegetables, you do get a good amount of antioxidants, plus you get your essential oils. And also activity, I do stress upon activity a lot. So I tell my clients to incorporate at least 5 hours of activity in a week.
Okay. And if your clients are stressed, like they definitely, those clients who are following you, they're taking suggestion, they are, you know,
stressed to some extent.
Yes, stressed up to some extent. So
stress again
the
then
stress?
Increases their cortisol.
Right.
Cortisol levels. The cortisol levels also then help in further increasing fat, especially around the belly.
Yes.
So for the stress management, our activities do help in bringing down their stress levels. Then if a client I see is really stressed, so I do encourage them to meditate for at least 5 minutes in a day. That does help in calming them down. Some clients, even I may suggest them to a counselor.
Okay. Those who are really stressed.
Really stressed. Maybe adding some, even sleep, if they're sleep deprived. So I do add in sometimes zinc and a magnesium supplement.
Okay,
so it helps to sleep them better. Helps them to sleep better.
Okay.
So what should be, I mean, if you have just bring it up, zinc and magnesium, what kind of doses you suggest for a normal person? He's stressed or... I mean, to keep them healthy.
So for zinc, generally, I recommend around 30 milligrams of zinc.
Right.
And for magnesium, I generally tell them to take the chelated magnesium.
Mm-hmm.
So around 1 to 2 grams.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that may solve their, you know, tension-related issues.
May solve, yeah.
Okay. So dose may vary according
dose
to person.
Dose may vary, then it's very individualistic and varies right, from right. person to person.
Vasudha, we have talked about so many diets, okay, so many exercise things as exercise protocols, but what do you follow? I mean, as a dietitian, as a, you know, fitness expert, what diet you follow?
So for myself, so for this, I would like to add that in my, like, 10 years back, I had this eating disorders.
Right.
I have gone through binge eating, I have gone through purging. And I was overweight. So I was always very unhappy about my weight. So over these years, I've tried, you know, different kind of diets, but nothing has ever worked for me. And I kept thinking this is healthy, so I should be eating this. But then I was never able to stick to that.
Right.
Now, the past 3-4 years, I've started this intermittent fasting. So I get to, and I'm really a big foodie. I enjoy my food. So this intermittent fasting has really worked for me. So I usually keep a window of 16 to 18 hours and I eat for 6 to 8 hours. So in this I manage to do some carb cycling also. So this has really worked for me.
So Vasudha, you talked about carb cycling in your diet. So how, I mean, what is this term carb cycling and how do you implement it in your diet?
So carb cycling basically means eating in, on some days you eat minimal amount of carbs.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe around 50 to 70 or 80 grams of carbs.
Right.
And mostly in the form of fruits, vegetables and some amount of whole grains or pulses.
So no processed carbs.
So no processed carbs.
Right.
And on the other day, like maybe after 2 days of maintaining a low to medium mm-hmm. carbs, then on the third day, one meal can be a cheat meal. So then you cheat on maybe, you know, it's a healthy cheating.
Okay.
So, but yet you can have a pizza if you want to have, you can mm-hmm. have a burger if you want to have, mm-hmm. but then maintain the portion sizes.
Okay. So cheat, but cheat in limit.
Cheat in a limit and yes, in a healthy manner.
Okay. And these days, you know, I have seen some cauliflower based pizza and, you know, some...
So you have zucchini pastas, you'll have zucchini lasagnas and cauliflower crust pizzas, cauliflower rice.
Right.
So these things are coming in because people are wanting to avoid grains.
Right.
So then just to add variety to your diet. So if you want to eat a pizza, make a base out of cauliflowers and eggs. So you get a base, then you just put in your vegetables and grill it with cheese. So you have a pizza without any grains and without any gluten.
Right, right. So it is satisfactory. I mean, in comparison to normal pizza.
Well, see, taste-wise, if you go, it is not. But then you don't feel guilty after eating it.
Right.
So the whole happiness and because you've not cheated and you've enjoyed your meal
right.
is far more satisfying than having a cheat pizza.
Okay. So you have significantly reduced.
Your unhappiness which follows after eating a full pizza.
Yes, after completing that, after consuming that pizza, then you start feeling bad.
The guilt and the unhappiness, yes.
Okay, Vasudha, tell us about your go-to food. Like, you're busy and you have very less time to grab something. So, which food or which food item you would like to consume? Any fruit or any protein bar or something like that?
Yeah, so protein bar is a good option.
Right.
So, I'm talking about my personal
right.
preference. So, then I would just probably have a protein shake and maybe grab a sandwich.
Okay. So, any particular kind of sandwich or any sandwich?
I would go for any sandwich with some veggies.
Uh-huh.
And I don't particularly believe in too much of whole wheat bread and white bread because
mm-hmm.
whole wheat also in the market, the whole wheat bread which is available is actually not whole wheat.
So Vasudha, at last, I would like to ask, how do you think these initiatives of, creating podcasts for people in the field of nutrition and fitness can help laymen? What do you think about it?
I think podcasts are really new to India people have just started getting into it and listening to podcasts
mm-hmm.
and I don't think there's much on fitness and nutrition.
Whatever I know, it is the first one.
So that's really a great initiative from your side, Abhishek. Mm-hmm. And I feel podcasts are really very interesting. Mm-hmm. And they are so easily accessible, not at all very expensive, and a very good way of learning.
Right. People can easily listen.
Listen to it. So even if you're like driving or doing some work, it can just play at the background, and any household works, you can just hear it while you're doing that work. So it's a very, very easy way to learn.
Thanks a lot, Vasudha, from the Road to Revamp podcast for giving so much time and so much information. Thanks a lot.
This brings us to the end of the episode. You were listening to Vasudha Goenka. For more, check out our other podcasts on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn and Audioboom under the name Road to Revamp. My name is Sagar Gupta and you are listening to Road to Revamp.